Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I'm going to make a confession here. A couple of them. Number one is I'm hot. So this is coming off. I'll put the jacket in the back here behind me. And I already confessed that I was a little bit on the tired side. And I usually get out of bed on Sunday mornings about 5. I know that sounds inspiring, but no, that's just Sunday mornings most of the time. And the Lord motivates me, and I just need that extra time to spend in the morning. This morning, it wasn't happening. And it was probably about an hour and a half after that I get out of bed this morning. So I'm a little slow in the draw, and I could tell this morning in our Sunday school hour, I was getting things mixed up in my head, and they were coming out my mouth the wrong way and coming out my brain the wrong way. So bear with me this morning as I do my best to work through Acts chapter 13. And let me just start by saying we were here a couple of weeks ago. And we were away for one Sunday. Brother Dave Smith was here. I actually checked out his message and realized he had preached on a very similar message that I did the week after that in regards to faith. So the just shall live by faith. The Lord must have wanted us to hear a double dose of that. And but it's been a couple of weeks since we've been in the book of Acts. And when we started chapter 13, we were looking at the first missionary journey of Paul and his entourage there, and Barnabas and different ones. And they were separated. The Holy Spirit came to them and wanted them separated and sent out. And so we started to look at the missionary journey, the first missionary journey that Paul and, again, Barnabas and the rest of them were on, the group that was with him, his company. And so I'll just catch us up a little bit in regards to the first portion of this chapter. There's 52 verses in Acts 13. And the first 12 verses are fairly straightforward, and you can kind of set that little portion aside as we learned about in Cyprus, Sergius Paulus there. You can see him in verse 7, and his sidekick, as it were, a fellow by the name of Bar-Jesus or Elymas. Let me see if I can find his other name here. Yeah, Elymas. And Elymas was a sorcerer. And the sorcerer, Elymas, or Bar-Jesus, wanted to keep the deputy, Sergius Paulus, away from the faith. And so we talked a little bit about that. And Paul stepped up and he recognized right away that this individual was full of subtlety and mischief. He even said, child of the devil, knock it off. I see what you're up against or what you're up to, and you don't know what you're up against. And he, through the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God, binded this individual, this sorcerer, who was trying to hinder the work of God. And now this sorcerer, Elymas, or Bar-Jesus, is blind. And he had to have some help getting out of there. He was led away by the hand. And in verse 12, it says that the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So I'm going to pray and ask for God's help on my tongue and in my head and on your ears, so that it'll be a blessing what you hear today. And you just pray with me as I pray that God would minister to your heart this morning what he wants you to hear, what he wants you to know. You know, that's the most important thing. When we come together, we worship God, we sing together, we're ministered to by song, as Brent did this morning. But it's also important that we quiet ourselves and that when the Word of God is shared, we don't focus on the preacher. I mean, I'm the mouthpiece up here, but we focus on what the Lord is saying through the Scripture. And we internalize it, and we prayerfully seek the Lord to help us understand what we're listening to and what he wants us to know. So let's pray that, and then we'll get into this. Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. It is a beautiful day. And as was mentioned earlier, we're looking forward to the time we're going to get to spend together next Sunday during our picnic, Father. And as we hold a service there, Lord, we just pray that we would have an encouraging time, the food, the fellowship, and the fun. We pray for good weather on that Sunday next week. And Lord, I pray that there would be a good group, that each of us, as we're able to, we'd be able to make it out and do something a little different, but worship you as always. And Lord, have some good fellowship together. So Father, we just pray for good weather. We pray also, Lord, for rain as our province. And Lord, many, many provinces within our nation is in need of some rain. And Lord, you are the God that is in control of these things. And so we come before you. We pray, Lord, that you would send the rain and that our dry land, Father, would find some relief. We pray also, Lord, for our hearts And that today, Father, our dry hearts, we know that as we work through the week, as we have the week behind us, we tend to get sin-stained, we tend to get a little parched, we tend to get a little weary. And so, Lord, we pray for a refreshing today as we look at your word. And Father, we pray, I pray, Lord, please work through me and through your word today. I pray that you would fill my mouth with your word and our ears with your word and nothing less and nothing more. So, Father, just bless our time together. Bless each one that's here today in your house. They've come to church, Father, and our lives are busy. And there's many hindrances. The devil puts many things in our way to keep us, our families, our children from coming to church, to sit in your presence, to hear your truth. And so, Lord, I thank you for the group here today, and I pray you'd bless everyone. Be with those that are unable to be here. Minister to their needs, some away and some dealing with health issues, Father. Just bless and help them. And encourage our hearts, Lord, in these few minutes. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Just before we begin in verse 13, the one thing that I wanted to refocus on or reiterate this morning is as Paul and Barnabas head out on this first missionary journey, they go with the Spirit of the Lord, they go with the help of God, they go with the prayers of the church, they go with a burning zeal to share the truth with those around them or those that they're being sent to, but they also go with an enemy, no doubt, not too far behind them, trailing after them. You know, there's no doubt that the enemy wants to hinder our ministries as believers. And each of us as Christians have individual ministries. There's nothing more important for a Christian. I have to be careful how I say this because I don't want to get it wrong. There's a lot of things that are important as Christians. But one of the things that is very important as Christians is to let our lights shine. In Matthew chapter 5, we're commanded there to let your light shine. And how do we do that as Christians? We go out into the world, whether it's the workplace, whether it's the home or family members or friends out at the coffee shop. And we don't beat people on the head with a Bible and judge them and command that they should do what we're doing. We simply look for opportunities to sit down and to share with them what somebody else shared with us. And ultimately, what God has revealed to us. And I love the opportunities that God gives me to do that. But the enemy will often try to hinder those opportunities. He'll send in my way, whether it's an illness or a hiccup through the day or a malfunction in the car or whatever, or something changes with the schedule, something comes up. And sometimes those opportunities to share the love of Christ with others is hindered. And that's why it's important that we are in prayer, praying that God would deliver us from unreasonable man or deliver us from that roaring lion, so that we would have those opportunities to share the truth. And I love those moments when I get to sit down. I had an opportunity recently just to sit down with some folks and talk about the Bible. And, you know, I wasn't trying to sign them up for anything. I wasn't trying to convince them they should think like I think, but only to share with them what the Lord God has led me to understand. Number one, that He loves us so much, that God truly loves us. Even while we were yet sinners, while we were still enemies of God, God didn't wait for the world to get right. God said, you know what? I love them so much that even in their sin, I'm sending my Son to die and to sacrifice Him, my Son, for their sinfulness. You say, well, what do you mean? Jesus Christ died for my sin? Absolutely He did. That's right. He died for the sins of the whole world. That's the love of God. You see, He wants us to be reconciled or brought back to Him. We've been separated by that enemy that comes in between us and the Lord God. And in this last passage we looked at a couple of weeks ago, the enemy, Elymas, the sorcerer, was coming between the man of God and the man in need of God. And there might be some of us here today that are in that same predicament. Either you're trying to get to somebody with the truth and the enemy is hindering you, or you are that individual in need of the truth, and to know how much God loves you and will use you, and the enemy is hindering you from hearing or knowing that truth. And so prayer is important, and being diligent is important, and strategy is important. And as we look through these missionary journeys, we're going to see that those things are present. Strategy, prayer, using wisdom, and having the confidence in Christ. The next 40 verses here in this chapter is essentially one long dialogue. And so it's a challenge to try to break it up. You know, we're going to have to stop in the middle of the conversation a couple of different times. So bear with me. We're going to just sort of observe some different things as we work through this. But starting in verse 13, they've already experienced the power of God. Paul has been able to minister to this deputy. He's been able to share the truth with him. And it says again in verse 12 that the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed. He was astonished at the doctrine of what Paul was teaching. The truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is the Son of God. And our only hope is to put our faith in Him. Eternally speaking, and even as we live our lives, the help that we need is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as they carry on, they continue to have the help and the power of the Lord God. And starting in verse 13, it says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." A lot of P's in that verse there. So Paul and his company loosed from Paphos. They're in Paphos, Cyprus, and they've done what they've done there. They feel that the Spirit is finished with them there. Their God is leading them on. They've had their moment, their interaction there with the deputy and all of those things. And so now they're loosing the sails, and away they go. They're setting sail and heading off to Perga and Pamphylia. And it says, "And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." This is just a little tidbit, but I want to take a couple of minutes to talk about it. Because we remember back in verse 13 when this entourage was heading out, Paul and Barnabas, it says in verse 5, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John in their ministry." So John joins them in their minister. And John, the cousin of Barnabas, at least at this point, is willing to serve. He was chosen. And he says, "Yeah, I'm going with you. Let's go." And away they go. But as they get ready to set sail for Pamphylia, John, for whatever reason, and we're not told the reason, has a change of mind or a change of direction. He's like, "I can't go," or "I'm not going." And I'm speculating as to, we don't know what he said, but we know that it says John didn't go with them. It says John, departing from them, he returned to Jerusalem. He went home. And it's interesting to sort of consider that for a couple of minutes, because we don't need to know the details to know that sometimes, even as Christians, ministry can be a challenge, right? And if you put a couple of people in the same room to talk about one issue long enough, you're going to have a disagreement. And I've said this before because I've experienced it. If I am by myself trying to consider something or make a decision, I will disagree with myself. Second guess myself. So, you know, when you put two people in the room, the same thing is going to happen. Look, we are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not perfect. We are perfect in the eyes of God because of the righteousness of Christ that has been placed on us, that precious blood that we are now covered in and cleansed by. God sees us as perfect. But in the flesh, we are not perfect. Christians are not perfect. If you ever meet a Christian and they tell you that they never, ever sin, I'm here to tell you, according to 1 John also, that that's not true. He who says he has no sin is a what? A liar, it says there. Now, that doesn't mean that we should sin, because we're going to anyway. It means that we will sin. But, it says in the very next verse there, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we confess that sin, when we fall short, when we step out of line. A just man falls seven times. A just man falls seven, that's a lot. Really, Lord? You still want to use me? I fall all the time? Yep, a just man will. But what does it say next? But he riseth up again. Right? Sometimes when I fall down, I'm on my knees, and that's the time I say, "Lord, forgive me, help me, strengthen me." I humble myself, and he's right there to pick me back up again. He riseth up again. And so the Lord will use us despite our weaknesses. Sometimes the ministry can be a challenge. And Darlene shared with us this morning, as Gary has been doing as well, the different missionaries that we have supported and are supporting over the years. And I bet you if they were all gathered here this morning and we were to ask them, "Have you ever had any disagreements, any personality conflicts, or even some practical issues that came up? You had to leave the mission field, or you had to, you know, change directions." They would say, "Yeah, absolutely. It happens quite a bit, maybe." And so what we're seeing here is that happened amongst this first missionary group. John, for whatever reason, departs from them, and he heads back to Jerusalem. Now, here's where I'm going, just for a couple of minutes. Turn to Acts 15. Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41, gives us a measure, a sense of the friction that that disagreement or that departure caused between Paul and Mark and also Barnabas. So for whatever reason, John's like, I got to head home, carry on. The other group leaves and John heads home. But starting in verse 36, of Acts chapter 15, I'm going to wet my tongue to slow it down. It says, "And some days after Paul said unto Barnabas," this is at the second missionary journey now, we'll get there. Paul goes to Barnabas, he says, "Hey, let us again go visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." That sounds like a missionary, right? Hey, we spent some time ministering to some folks, and planted some churches, and we shared with them that God sent his son to die for them, that Christ loves them, and they can be saved and forgiven from all their sins and become children of God. He said, we did that, it was wonderful. Let's go back and revisit these folks. Let's go back and share with them what God has been doing with us and see what God has been doing with them and see if we can aid them or help them any further. That's what missionaries do. They go out to win the lost to Christ, to give the world hope. And it is a wonderful hope at that. No longer having to fear the enemy. No longer having to fear judgment day. No longer having to fear standing before God, which every one of us will do someday. No longer having to fear an eternity being separated from God. In the mists of darkness, to use that description of a place called hell. But having the confidence in Christ, salvation is a wonderful gift. Amen? And we are just set free from those concerns. We're not perfect, but now in Christ, we are safe. We are safe. And we start there, and the Lord grows us, and he grooms us, and he helps us. Well, in verse 36, Paul goes to Barnabas. He says, let's go back and continue to help them to grow. Let's head out again on another missionary journey. And then in verse 37 it says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So they have a discussion of some kind, and Paul says, let's go back on our little missionary journey. We'll go again and we'll visit those churches. And Barnabas seems to be agreeable. Says, yeah, absolutely. I'd like for John and Mark to come with us again. My cousin, right? I got a cousin, lots of cousins. I like it when we spend time together. And Barnabas is sort of adamant that, yeah, I want to do that. And I want John Mark to come with us. I'm going to invite him along. And Paul has an issue with that. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them. I don't want to do that. What do you call that? You call that a disagreement. Yeah, there's no fists being thrown. There's no bloodshed here in the verse. I'm thankful for that. Nobody leaves with a bloody nose. But there is a disagreement. And sometimes that happens with believers. Sometimes we disagree about things. My wife is just almost perfect. Just almost. She's shaking her head no, but I'm being really careful. Every once in a while, can you believe this? She disagrees with me. I'm not sure why, but she does. And there's two options in a marriage when you have a disagreement. You can fight about it, or as we should in our marriages, we can fight for one another and work through that disagreement and demonstrate patience and love and temperance and self-control and all of those sorts of things. And so this is what we do as Christians. In the relationship that we have with one another, when disagreements come up and our tempers start to get the best of us or our fleshliness and we want what we want and my way is the best way, we've got to be careful to step back a little bit and go before the Lord and pray for humility, for patience, for kindness, for soft words, for wisdom, direction, for unity, right? This is what the Lord wants for the church, to have unity. And that's wisdom. Because again, the devil is always in the details. And we have to understand that even as we saw Elymas, the sorcerer, try to hinder Paul from ministering to Saulus, so the enemy will keep these men, or did try to hinder these men from ministering to these churches that they were going back to. And so this little disagreement comes up. Maybe the devil had nothing to do with it. Maybe he did. But there is a way that as believers we can handle that. And that's with patience and love and forgiveness. What does the Bible say about love and sin, by the way? It says love covers a multitude of sins. Love fixes the issues that we often create within our relationships. So Barnabas says, I want to take John with me. I want him to come. And Paul's like, no, I don't want him to come. He bailed out on us last time. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. He said, no. Now, we don't know the details, but Paul does say, look, he left the last time we were together, and no, I don't want to bring him. I don't think he should come. And Barnabas disagreed. And it says in verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them, and that is never nice, that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. So in chapter 15, what happened with John departing back in chapter 13, Barnabas says, let's bring Mark on this next journey. Paul says, I don't think so. And then Barnabas and Paul end up parting ways with each other. Now, that's unfortunate, but that happens. You know, I know of a church years and years ago. It was a church that was doing very well, and the Lord was working. But they ended up having some frustrating things happen, and there was a split. We hear that sometimes in our churches. We don't like to use that word, but it happens. And it happens not just in churches. It happens in organizations, places of employment. It happens in our homes. It happens in our nations, right? We would argue that many nations today are split, divided. That's what happens with people. The devil knows that a house divided will what? Fall. Jesus said that. He said, a nation or a house divided will fall. Satan heard that, I'm sure, and said, oh, interesting. I'm making notes, right? The devil said, I know what to do. I'll cause division so that they will fall. Now, Barnabas and Paul had a disagreement, just as this church had a disagreement years ago. There ended up being two churches. Another church was started through this church split. Years later, those two churches reconciled and now have beautiful fellowship together. And the point is that God knew what he was doing from the beginning. And even when the enemy gets in the details sometimes, when the enemy comes in and causes divisions and frustrations, if we trust the Lord, if we seek the Lord's help, if we seek humility and patience, we put God first, God can take that difficult issue and work it for good. And so what happened here is Barnabas and Mark went on a missionary journey of their own. And the gospel was spread in areas that maybe it wouldn't have been. And so Paul and Silas now comes on board, and now we have another missionary, and they head off on their own missionary journey. So now we've got two groups of missionaries sharing the word of God. And the contention wasn't a nice thing to go through, but here's the good news. As we continue to read just a little bit further, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm kind of guessing here, so I might be wrong on that. Yep, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. We'll start there. Barnabas, John, they're like, all right, fine, we don't want to hang out with you guys anyway. And they go on their own missionary journey. Paul and Silas comes on board, and they head off on their own mission trip. A couple of years go by. I'll say that. I'm not sure how many. But here's where we find Paul as he's writing a letter to Timothy in prison now. It says in verse 9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Then he says these words, take Mark. Mark? What's that, Paul? You talking about Mark? You remember Mark, that guy that you were frustrated with all those years back? Same guy. And Paul says, take Mark and bring him with thee. Bring Mark. When you come to see me, and please come hurry, I need to be encouraged. And when you do, bring Mark. And here's what he says next. Bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And what we see here is reconciliation had taken place. There was forgiveness, there was prayer, the Spirit of God worked. And instead of Paul saying, Mark, don't bring his name up ever again, I'm done with him. You know, I don't ever want to hear that name again. No, we see that in some way, in some shape, these men must have yielded to the leading of the Lord. And all these years later, we see Paul saying, hey, Mark, what a good brother he is. Bring him with you. I want to see him. He is profitable. He is valuable to me and to the ministry, to the work of the Lord God. The point is that sometimes there's disagreements. Sometimes there are hiccups within our lives as Christians, and within our churches and our homes and those sorts of things. But if we let the Lord lead us through those disagreements, and we seek to love one another, and we seek to esteem one another higher than ourselves, and we let love cover the sins, and we prayerfully seek God's direction, and we recognize that the enemy is sneaking around trying to destroy and divide and sow discord, and we're wise to that, the chances are really good that we'll end up just like Paul and Mark, reconciled, serving the Lord together a little further down the road. And it's wonderful to see the plan of God and the ways in which God can lead us and help us play out here in the text, in real time here, and also in our own lives. So back to Acts chapter 13. As I said, we're just going to kind of pick our way through this chapter. And we'll pull out a few things here and there as we go. But that was one of the things that I kind of wanted to highlight. Sometimes there's issues within ministry, disagreements, and we have falling outs with folks. But if we let the Lord be involved in those issues, He'll mend us, He'll help us. And we'll look back and we'll say, oh, praise the Lord that He is so gracious and patient with us. And we can continue to love one another and be profitable to one another in the ministry. That's amazing that God helps us to do that. Picking it up here in verse 14 of Acts chapter 13. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. This is a different Antioch, by the way. Antioch of Syria, the larger of the two Antiochs, was where they left from. But now they're in a different Antioch, obviously, of Pisidia, just outside Pamphylia. It says they came to Antioch of Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And it's no accident. This is where the strategy of the missionaries and we as mission-minded Christians comes into play. They end up here in this new town, and what do? They head to church. They go to the temple. They go to where people who are at least somewhat interested in knowing what the truth is are already at. And so they find themselves sitting in this synagogue on the Sabbath day. Synagogue, of course, just like church, was a place where scriptures were read. They would read through the Torah, as we're going to look at. We'll read that verse in a minute, and through the prophets. And they would worship God, and they would teach, and they would instruct and learn God's will. So there they are, Paul and Silas are there, Barnabas are there. It says in verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. We've all seen these town hall meetings, maybe at a school or at a library somewhere. The town is having a meeting about, I don't know, the trees are too tall. They want to shorten the trees. Whatever. They got to pave the roads. And so all the village comes, the town comes out, and they know that the council sits up front, and they say, this is what we're going to do, and this is the plans, and does anybody have anything they want to say? And, somebody will get up and come to the microphone, and they'll say their piece, and they're allowed to do that, and there's a platform for them to do that. Well, we kind of have a picture of that here. As the reading of the law and the prophets is finished, the ruler of the synagogue and those rulers there see Paul, they see Barnabas, they see this group, this company of men that are there, and they must have in some way recognized that they would have had something to share. And they were interested in what that might be. It says, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation, if you got anything that you can teach us, anything from the scriptures that we've missed, or anything that you would like to share with us, please do, or as it says, as soon as I find the right verse, say on. Told you I was tired. Say on. And I love this because essentially, this is an invitation that they wouldn't have received if they hadn't have gone to church that day. If they had said, no, we're not starting with the synagogue, they don't know what they're doing, we already know that. Let's just go from door to door and we'll try our chances. They knew enough, and no doubt as the Spirit led them to go to the synagogue, and now they are allotted an opportunity to speak their mind, to share their heart, to let the Spirit of God that has been empowering them and leading them have His way and to speak through them the truth of God. And I jotted down, this is an invitation that provided an opportunity to declare the truth. This was an invitation for these believers, these missionaries, these followers of Christ to share the truth of the Word of God. And you know, there are times in our lives when God will provide us with similar opportunities. We'll find ourselves sitting at the table or standing beside someone in a lineup or on the phone with an individual, and we'll notice or we'll sense or we'll come to understand that we're being provided an opportunity to share some truth with this individual. Maybe they asked a question. What do you believe? I love it when people ask me that question. I remember we had an international student staying with us, and she was a really nice young woman and smart. The place that she was from, she was a part of a organization that believed differently than we do. And I am of the persuasion, and still am, or at least I was in that time, and I don't know if things have changed for her, that she didn't know the truth. She was deceived about the truth. But what we ended up doing is we would have conversations, and I would ask her questions about what she believed. So what do you believe? What does your faith, your religion, your organization teach you? And this individual would share. And then, to be polite, she would ask me, well, what do you believe? And I would say, oh, goody. And I would say, well, here's what I believe. And I would always add, and this is why I believe it, because the Bible says. My ideas aren't that great. You know, just ask me, I'll tell you a few of them. My ideas aren't that great at all. Some of my ideas are even terrible, so just be careful if you ever ask me for some ideas. But God's truth is perfect. And anytime I want to share something that's valuable, I can share God's word. And so it provided me with an opportunity. I had an invitation there, and I had an opportunity to share God's truth. And very graciously and respectfully, I said, well, this is what I believe about this issue. And that happened over and over and over and over again through the run of 10 months, where this individual would ask me, after I asked them, what do you believe about this? And they would tell me, and I would think, okay, I kind of thought that. And then they would say, what about you? And I would say, well, here's what I believe. And then I would quote scripture. and the Lord really used that. This is an invitation that Paul has, and Barnabas, to share truth. And they're going to take advantage of it. And the rest of this chapter is really a discourse on what he shares. We only have a couple of minutes left. Let me close with this. There are going to be times in the run of your week, this week, I guarantee you, God doesn't put us on the shelf. God doesn't say, yeah, I'll use you later. You know, the blood of my son, Jesus Christ, was shed for you. You are saved, reconciled, a child of God, headed for heaven, glory, and an eternal life. But I don't really want to use you. That never happens. The only time God doesn't use me is when I'm being disobedient and I won't let him. Okay, that's the truth. And I think that's true for all of us as believers. If you know Christ today, there might be times in your life when he can't use you because you won't let him. But we can do anything God wants us to do. And if he wants to use us, he will. And we just need to allow him. Just like Isaiah said, what do you say? Hear my Lord, send me. Like, if you want to use me, use me. There may be an opportunity this week. Somebody might ask you a question. What about the weather? What about, I hate to say it, politics? I mean, I may as well. We talk about it all the time, right? Sometimes we have conversations with people. We need to be careful. But if we can steer those conversations about the weather or about politics or maybe health, somebody has a health concern. And that comes up in the conversation. Maybe they asked you the question, what do you think? What do you believe? Those are spirit-led opportunities to share or to speak truth. To simply share what the Word of God says about those different individuals or situation those individuals might be facing. They're invitations. And I pray for them, and I know you do as well, that the Lord would provide us throughout the week, maybe with a friend or a family member or maybe even a complete stranger, just with the opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. Maybe it's a conversation, or maybe it's an action, a deed. Maybe somebody needs a help. Maybe somebody needs something picked up or dropped off or some time spent with them or some love demonstrated to them or some help in some way. We can share Christ in many different ways, but the point is that there are opportunities. And we need to see these opportunities as invitations. The Lord invites us. He sends us out as missionaries, and he invites us to take advantage of the different opportunities we have to share the truth. And what truth? Two different times, at least, in this chapter, Paul references forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. And we can talk about a lot of things. We can disagree about even more. There's a lot of hot topics out there, and sometimes it's fun to talk about them. But here's the bottom line. God created us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We are born with sin natures. We can see it. We're not perfect. The imperfections we demonstrate are the evidences of our sinfulness. I say wrong things. I do wrong things. I make life miserable for other people sometimes when I sin. And it's that sin that has separated us from God and that places us in judgment. We are condemned because of this sin nature. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, doesn't have to perish, but will have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And this is the message, ultimately, the main message, right? Keep the main thing that we want to share with the world. That they can be saved, they can be forgiven, and they can answer that invitation that the Lord has for them to invite him into their lives and become a child of God. And so throughout this week, as the Lord leads us, pray for those opportunities. And it's kind of fun to try to look for them, to identify, Lord, you might be doing something here. Maybe there's a reason why this individual broke down out in front of my house. Or maybe there's a reason why I caught this cashier crying or wiping away her tears. Maybe you're providing me with an opportunity to share a little bit of love, a little bit of truth with this individual. Anyway, just a few thoughts in regards to chapter 13, and we'll get back to it next week. Father, we do thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel. Father, that you provided us with a way to be forgiven of all of our sins, past, present, and future, despite our falling down continuously, even after we're saved, we are still forgiven. And though sometimes our relationship with you can be hindered, we thank you, Lord, that you never abort us, you never abandon us, you never forsake us, that you are faithful to us. Father, it's important that first we come to understand we need to be safe first, saved. Lord, we know that the enemy often comes in between us and the truth to hinder us from hearing it. The Bible literally tells us that the god of this world, meaning Satan, blinds our minds. He distracts us. He keeps us in the dark. He fills our minds with false truths to keep the light of the glorious gospel from shining in unto us, that we might be saved. And so, Lord, I pray if there's any here today that the enemy is trying to keep in the dark, that they would be delivered, Lord, that they would come to know how much you love them and how much better, Father, it is to walk with you and safer. Lord, we pray as believers that you would provide us with opportunities even this week and that we would pay attention, Lord, and maybe notice that you are using us or want to use us to share Christ or the love of Christ with someone else. Lord, these are invitations. And we, Lord, we thank you for them, and we pray for them. Give us wisdom, give us help, and even as Paul and Barnabas use wisdom and strategy and grace, help us to do the same. Lord, bless us as we close. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.